At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
It is January 31st, 2022. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Oh, no. I'm late. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. See, I brought a second LaCroix. This is from the, I think it's still like the fall pack from Costco. It's got the hibiscus one and the limoncello and the watermelon. They're all solid flavors. They're all solid flavors.
Oh, what a wuss, Tim. You need to get some liquid death in your life, man.
You sound like a Live Nation shill. And with that, thank you guys for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening. Episode 100 and the 68 or is it 169?
69, I think.
Please tell me it's 169.
Yes.
Thank you.
Nice.
I would have been so crushing if I came on 168. I would have been like, I would have just left and said, bring me back next week.
You are on 168. Kevin was
on. Oh, no. Well, maybe I'll come back.
Yeah. Well, bye. Bye, Joe. thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Little housekeeping. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, notification bell icon, all that good jazz. You get the notification whenever we go live on Monday evenings. We are back for the season, back every Monday at 8 p.m. over here on YouTube, also on Twitter and on Twitch if you're into that kind of thing. If you're watching or if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and or a review. We will read it live on the show. With that, I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-hosts, Mr. Kevin Bradley, Mr. Dan James, and then we have returning guest, and I can never get, because this is not a mirrored camera, because webcams are, it's impossible to, anyway, we're joined by Joe Patrick of 92.9 The Game, Dirty South Soccer, five-stripe final, and I think hard-hitting question first, Joe. I know we haven't had you back on in a while. I think since
spring training, let's talk about it.
Since we're I need you to confirm whether or not the rumors are true that you are that Fabrizio Romano is your burner account.
Actually, that's not true. But hey, Fabrizio, grab me a beer. grab me a beer.
Now Fabrizio.
He's over in the other room. He's ignoring me. But yeah, we're just hanging out. You know.
Yeah. He says done deal. Here's the beer. The beer is. Thanks for joining us, man. It's been forever.
Dude, I know.
Yeah, missed you. It's yeah.
What I was going to say before I was rudely interrupted by you guys to say what I'm going to say
how
right
show
now,
works?
which is that this is really like you know. During the season, I've got, you know, a lot of Braves stuff going on. I'm obviously recording my own podcast and stuff like that. This is really the only one I listen to with any kind of regular occurrence. I'll dip into some other ones if they have a feature or something that I'm interested in. But I really think that you guys do the best job of like kind of really encapsulating a lot of the general opinion of LA United fans. Good or bad. So
I was going to say, it's all chaos. That's the reason why. It's chaos.
It is chaos. Yeah.
You know, it's been a long journey. I mean, I'm deadly serious where even like there's times where it's like, oh, you're disinterested and you're trying to like kind of coax yourself into like keeping it going. I think every LA United fan has been there at some point over the last 3-4 years, you know? So, I just want to say I always love coming on, talking to you guys. It's always a fun time.
Well, we love having you. It's cheers.
I specifically like joining you guys in person so I can drink all of Kevin's bourbon.
Yeah, which it looks like I'm not a bourbon.
When he's not there. That makes it even I can drink even more.
I am not a drinker, but that looked like a Blanton's bottle. Was that a Blanton's bottle?
Yeah, yes, I know it. A new one this weekend. I figured I can polish this one off since I've got a new one in the hole.
And you know why I know that's a Blanton's bottle? Because the amount of times that I've scouted for that bottle at a duty-free shop on your behalf, Kevin. It's every time I ever fly, ever go international.
Well, you get the gold label, man.
Yeah, it is what it is.
That's one of the biggest reasons why we're flying internationally for a honeymoon.
Stacey, I hope you're hearing this. All of you guys that are tuned into the trap, it's been kind of busy since 7:35. Yeah, Elliot Beaven, Kendrick Brock, Richard Gordon, Jay Hannibal. Who else we got? Chiefs coach Steve. We have Brent Crawford, Brittany S. Of course, we have Brittany S. The OG, Kendrick Brock. Howletto, Joey, Michelle, Greg Fraser's back. We got everybody's coming to see you. Everybody's coming to see you, Joe. And Eric Ferreira, that's a new name in the trap I've never seen. He said, remind me what this place is. If anybody finds out, let me know, because I've been trying to figure that out forever. It's just a state of mind. That's like the tagline, right? It's a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you want to get in my brain.
This podcast is
though.
A life is good shirt, basically.
Because all the soccer ball kicking that they do, the little guy does the little soccer ball kicking.
Exactly.
Anyway,
I feel like it's a good life shirt, but only a lot more faded and torn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's first say thanks, Joe, for your kind words. Thank you very much.
From the heart.
That's great, man.
It's been, Joe and I were talking while we were waiting for you lazy bones to get into the studio earlier. We were talking about, this is like the first time in a while I feel like we've been super involved. Atlanta United has been super involved in silly season, both rumors and actual transactions.
Yeah.
And I, for one, and we'll go around the table, or as it were, I'm a little excited just by the amount of shaking up that we got going on. Just like inject a little life. And I mean, Joe was talking about, you know, dragging on and feeling a little like apathetic, or I don't even know, but I think this is good. It injects a little blood, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I just wish they'd show the new kit already, right? Like, who cares about players anymore?
Right.
I want to know who the new sponsor is. Stop fucking around with it. Just sign the deal. I don't care about Bundesliga. I want to know who's going to be on the kit. Right.
Those were some sweet hoodies they saw over the weekend.
Oh, you bring up a good point, Kevin. I always say you cheer for the laundry, not for the player. Show us the laundry. Show us the laundry. We want to see it. Open up that washing machine. Because you know you're not putting it in the dryer.
I don't want that wavy bacon bullshit.
I got to say, the kit launches have always been a pretty fun time, the ones that I've been to at least.
Yeah.
It's always like a good surge of energy right before the season. You're around people and stuff.
I'm a little shocked that it hasn't happened yet, to be honest. The season starts in 3 weeks, basically.
I think the optics of doing it, despite the fact that the stadium's been open, no masks and all that for, I don't know, over half a season, almost a year, I would say. What are we at, like 9 months since they opened it up? I think the optics of still doing like a close contact thing is probably something that's like a bit of a conflict for the front office. At least, I don't know. It just seems that way. I don't know.
Yeah. I think they'll just wait until they come back from Mexico and then just do it then, I guess.
Yeah.
Close to the start of the season. Yeah. I'm trying to think like how close to the season is it normally that they do it?
Normally about a month out, at least.
Yeah, that's kind of
right
what I
around
too.
There. Like I said, but the fact that they haven't even announced, like,
right, no plans, yeah, no
reveal,
like, tickets or
like
anything
thing,
for it.
Like, because that at least happens a week or two in advance. So, like, that's what's shocking to me is it's not that it's not happened yet, but they haven't even mentioned, you know, for King Peach, it was like, we're going to do open training and everybody can come show out. And then for the black kid, it was like they did the whole thing at the bins. And so everything has had this whole event surrounding it. And so for them to not even mention anything yet with the season, like I said, 3 weeks away, it seems a little,
it's a good
little
point.
Strange.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll announce something this week, just like to kind of get the ball rolling on getting
they've got to, right?
involved. Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
The only thing I can think of is that, because rumor has it that there may be a new kit sponsor. So I don't know if it just has to do with finalizing deals with them or what, you know, that's the only thing I can think of maybe that could play a part in that. And maybe it's all much to do about nothing and it's still AmFam and nobody really knows what's going on.
So, is it not going to be Icebox this year? Did Icebox get the sponsorship?
I hope it's Wrigley. Wrigley spearmint kit.
I've been going for Newell Rubbermaid just because of the plastic motif and the fact that they're local. I think that would be pretty sweet.
What if it's Crest?
Ooh.
What if it's like Colgate or Aqua Fresh? Ooh, Aqua Fresh would be awesome.
Mentadent.
I don't care who the sponsor is, so long as they don't have the actual colors of the sponsor on there. It just has to be color wheel that goes with the kit. That's and I'm a real asshole about that sort of stuff. So
I feel like that's what MLS typically does though, right? Like
unless you're LAFC.
The one that still drives me up a wall is the Manchester United kit that had like the shiny Chevrolet. Gold Chevrolet. Like it just looks so out of step with just the rest of the motif of the uniform. It was ridiculous.
Totally agree. Should have just been a white outline.
Tottenham, there was one that caused a lot of outrage. Well, I guess do they still have it? The AIA, the red AIA.
Red
on the kit. So I'm with you, Dan. Never red. Yeah. Come on.
That looked pretty good though. Sorry. I mean, I don't care about Tottenham or Arsenal, but
yeah, fair.
Well, I care. I guess if I'm gonna have to choose, I'll probably choose Tottenham.
I'm with you though, Dan. Like the American Family Insurance, how they had just like put it in gold,
exactly.
That line with the trim. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other ones in MLS. I think the YouTube TV logo on LAFC had the red play button, right?
Terrible.
Is there anybody else?
I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
Yeah. I don't know.
Galaxy, don't they have the
are they still Herbalife
or whatever?
Yeah. That MLM
have, like their color?
that pyramid scheme.
that's crazy to me. It's still going on and they can still afford to like that's still a thing. Like I don't know. Just get Scientology as a sponsor.
Dude, people are still selling Avon, but they'll buy into anything.
Yeah, no, that's
Herbalife,
fair.
Herbalife is doing great, man. It's doing great. It'll be doing great until like one day it'll just like no longer exist. One day
they make that tea that just makes you poop. Down. Yeah,
yep.
It's and Amway too. That's the other one. Like I see the Orlando Magic? They play at Amway Arena, and they have so much money, but all that money is funneled up just to pay for the sponsorship.
Mm.
Yeah.
Have you guys been following any of the other moves from other teams in the offseason by any chance?
Not in MLS.
No.
Oh, except for Douglas Costa just signed for LA Galaxy. And so it's him and Chicharito up front.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Yeah.
I did not know that. I have not really been following a lot of the other moves around the league.
I've just seen a couple of things like float around on Instagram. I forget. Somebody just had a trade to Arsenal, I think.
Oh, yeah. So Austin Trusty will be going to Arsenal this summer. Stan Kroenke, of course, owns both those teams, so they can just move the player, which must be infuriating for all like 9 Colorado Rapids fans out there. You know,
I mean, it's the same thing for the Red Bull teams, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like Tyler Adams went to Salzburg, or was it Salzburg they went to?
Yeah,
and like I don't know if there was a transfer fee attached to that move.
I think he just went straight to Leipzig
or Leipzig.
I think he
Okay, yeah.
He leapfrogged Salzburg.
But I don't think there was much of a transfer fee involved with that. If there was, it's not anywhere near his value. So, unfortunate for those teams.
No, for sure.
Yeah, didn't – is Matt Turner going to Arsenal? Or is that a vicious internet rumor?
I think he is. You know
– yeah, I thought they had confirmed it, but maybe not.
I'm pretty sure he is.
We kind of got you on to go through all this, Joe, so –
yeah, I'm looking through the MLS.
Well, I guess
there's just
I guess
yeah.
the
he signed for them 4 days ago.
Okay,
at least that's what it says. And like there are articles that are like, is you know, is the transfer the best? Like, is that the best move for Matt Turner? I don't know. He doesn't step into that lineup to me. Like, I really like Matt Turner. Whenever he's in between the sticks for the U.S. men's national team, but. I don't know that he. Who does Arsenal have? Is it still Bernd Leno? And then who's the British guy? Who's the Englishman that is playing keeper for them? It's like a poor man's Jordan Pickford, which is
no idea. But it is a bold move for him to go over there and put himself into that competition, considering the fact that he's kind of already has the first number one on the depth chart, so to speak, for the U.S. men's national team. But if he's not starting at Arsenal, then that may throw that into question. So it's
Aaron Ramsdale is who he's behind.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting transfer. Also, the LAFC traded for Kellen Acosta, right? And that was kind of there's a big hubbub over that because apparently MLS blocked a transfer for both him and Paul Areola to go to Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't know that.
MLS blocked that?
Yeah, wow. To be able to keep him within the league, from what I understand. And I don't know if those are just rumors, but like that's just like one of the detriments, I guess, of having a single entity league like that where they can block transfers going in and out and be able to divert them. And I don't know. That sucks for them if that's the case.
Yeah.
It was Club America that Matt Wisniewski in the trap saying Paul Areola is going to go to Club America. But they where did he end up? Is he in Dallas?
Dallas, right? I think. Yeah.
He's that's a shame. I mean, I don't rate him very highly. But
it was a big move, though. I mean, I don't either. But what was that, like $2 million or something for him?
To Dallas?
Sounds
right. Yeah. And then the Kellen Acosta thing. I don't know what Colorado's doing. I mean, they're gonna blow it up, right? Because Kellen Acosta was with Colorado last year, actually for a few years, and then they had Mark Anthony Kay come in last year, and got Cole Bassett's probably leaving too. He's probably their best young player, and then you lose Trusty. That team is going from what were they first? They were first in the West, right? Mm-hmm. Last year.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably just like last time, whenever they won the Supporters Shield a handful of years ago, and just tanking.
Yeah,
that sounds like a crunky franchise, to be honest.
Yeah, they're not really built for like long-term success with the ownership and everything that they've got there. It's kind of it's too bad. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been kind of irritated with Toronto's success this transfer window, signing Lorenzo Insigne. They just got Carlos.
They just got a defender, Salcedo. Mexican defender, right? Or
mm-hmm.
Didn't they? Salcedo. They brought Jovinko back too, right?
No.
No?
I guess there's been rumors of that.
Yeah, I think there's been rumors, but I don't think it's happened. It could very well could.
But at the same time, I mean, you look at what they did last year in the transfer market, and they still were not. I mean, they were one of the worst teams in the East, right? Didn't they end up being one of the worst teams in the East with Jefferson Salcedo and Soteldo? And,
they needed to do something. Did Jose Osuelo officially retire, or is he still playing?
He's a free agent, as far as I know.
Valeri got released as well. That's one of the other older players. That's what I really want to see is how many new faces you'll see replacing some of those veteran players in a lot of these lineups. And I think Greg Fraser was mentioning one of them, not really a veteran player in MLS per se, but Nani, obviously, that was one of the early announcements right at the end of last year that he was going to be released. And I don't know who DK's replacement is. I hadn't really followed that, but I knew that Nani was released.
Yeah, Nani is in where did Nani go play? He's Venezia with Gianluca Buzio. Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. I don't know who replaced them. I haven't been paying attention. This is good. People get to like watch us discover this shit.
I know.
But Facundo Torres and then Erkin Kara are the two guys it looks like replaced. They're two. They have an Austrian DP that came in and then a Uruguayan. Don't know either of the guys.
Don't worry. Like everyone else is saying, like Brittany S is saying, they'll go on a 9-game win streak and then they'll lose 18 in a row. Just give it time.
No.
They'll find a way.
Facundo Torres, he was a pretty good move for them. He commanded a good fee. He's a young guy, so I mean, I'm sure they're hoping he can do something for them, and I'm hoping he doesn't.
Yeah. All right.
Should we maybe talk about some of?
We have a handful of elephants in the room right now, and
how dare you? I've been going to the gym, Tim. How dare you?
Obviously, apparently Dan can't be bothered with this conversation. He just dipped.
Secretly, an Orlando fan.
Just dipped. Dan just hit the
app. Sorry.
Oh. I thought I was the boomer in here, not understanding NFTs. And you got Dan can't keep a browser window open.
I know.
Okay.
Geriatric millennial.
And I'll start with our guest, Joe. Is George Bello's transfer good, bad, or are you neutral about it? Yeah.
You know, it's good for George.
How much was the transfer for? Do we know about it?
$2 million.
My source was not like didn't have the information about the finances involved. So I've just been kind of following some of the other reports as well about that aspect of it. And it looks like there's add-ons, so it's gonna be like around $660,000 up front, and then a bunch of add-ons that could go up to about $2 million, something like that.
And then a 25% sell-on clause, which could end up being pretty lucrative if Melo shows out. Yeah.
And I had heard at one point it was a 20% sell-on, so I do think that Atlanta United was able to get a little bit more out of that deal than what was originally. Like, there was kind of a standoff when the initial report came out from Circle Bruges that, you know, that they were offering 3.75 or whatever for him. But as everybody kind of reported, there was never any interest from Bello in going there. He wanted to go to a league where he just felt like it was a much better development opportunity to go to where he went, to be going up against that level of competition. I think that that's what Greg Berhalter will want to see. Obviously, a big part of this is with an eye towards the World Cup at the end of the season, this MLS season, at least. So the Belgian offer was never really in the cards for Bello. And then what was the question? Just like,
how do you feel about it?
So when it first happened, obviously everyone's like, when you're hearing the amounts, you're like, what the hell? Like, shouldn't George Bello be going for way more than that? Like, some people were thinking 5-10, you know, up to 10, maybe in that range at least. Because he is, like, I think that kind of caliber player. It just didn't really match, like, the amount that was being paid for him. Yeah, versus, like, you know, we've seen him be on the field. But then, obviously, the contract plays a huge part in that. The fact that he only had a year left on his deal. And they're at the end of the transfer window. They essentially had, like, 2 days when these reports started coming out to do a deal. Otherwise, they were not going to get any money for him. And there were other teams that were interested that were going to come and offer him a contract in the middle of the season, and he would have left Atlanta United after the season. I can say that there were some big teams that were interested in coming in on a free for him, and I think that those may have been more attractive to him as well than some others, because he could have just played out his full season as Atlanta United, gotten a lot of playing time, good form going into the World Cup, and not have had to really worry about his playing time at the next club, so he could have taken even a bigger step with some of those clubs. I know the ones that I heard was two Premier League teams. I don't want to say exactly who it was, but two Premier League teams and one big Italian team were interested in potentially signing him on a free. But, you know, I was upset. Like, at first, it's like, geez, like, it doesn't make sense. But, you know, Atlanta United, I don't think it's not the transfer fee is not going to affect them on the field. I think they're pretty much they're going to be able to maximize the amount that they would have been able to inject back into the team anyway, as far as all the allocation money is concerned. So I think in that respect, it's not that big a deal. I think it's more just the whole optics of it, of seeing, you know, a homegrown player, a highly touted homegrown player, a player who's playing for the U.S. men's national team leave for, you know, less than $1 million up front. It's just not a great look. But there's a lot of factors that went into his contract winding down. I was talking to Sam about this earlier, Sam Jones, my podcast partner. And, you know, part of it also is just like the total structure of where he was in his career when he signed his homegrown deal. I mean, he signed his homegrown deal when he was like 16 years old. Yeah. And still like pretty far away from being able to contribute at the MLS level. So he spent basically 2 years of his homegrown contract just kind of building himself up to the point where he could be used in MLS. And so now, and then he was able to play a couple years in MLS. And by that point, you're kind of at the end of that contract. You know, I think maybe they could have avoided this situation to an extent if they said, hey, we're going to make you our everyday left back. Like they pretty much have said that publicly, that they just made that decision to do that. Maybe at that point they could have offered him a raise and extended that contract for a year or two. That would have given them some more leverage in a situation like this. But I'm not sure if Bello would have taken that, because at the end of the day, he kind of was in the position that he wanted to be in, where he got to essentially choose where he wanted to go in this situation. So there's like a lot of factors that go into this deal, but, you know, at first I was kind of upset about the deal, and now I'm just like, it doesn't really even matter that much. I mean, could they have gotten more money out of it? Yeah. does that really matter? Maybe to Carlos's boss, you know, like that will be like, you know, that's essentially what the decision came down to. You also have to think about Carlos Bocanegra and like the place where he was in when he would have been dealing with these other offers that may have come in for Bello for more money, you know, in previous windows, whether it was the summer of this past season or even the off season before. You know, there have been some questionable transfer moves. Boca's probably feeling like he's on the hot seat. You got the Gabriel Heinze coaching regime that has gone all wrong. You guys know that people were calling for Bocanegra's head, you know, at points last season. What kind of a message would it have sent to sell George Bello off a team that's fighting to try to make the playoffs and, you know, a playoff appearance that was going to be really important for the club just from its, you know, to get them their a club of their stature to kind of get them back to respectability. I mean, that would have been a tough trigger to pull. And you could say, oh, well, at least we sold him for a couple more million. But I don't know if fans would have really, you know, been that excited to hear about the extra money that's going into the coffers of Atlanta United Football Club, you know? So I know some people are probably upset about it because of the finances, but you have to think about what the cost would have been had you decided to go ahead and bank that at the time.
So I think that the other part of this is the opportunity cost from having the academy prove out a pipeline deal. So he has a homegrown player, he's been developed by our academy, spent time in the twos, and then has come through the first team, and then has gone on to Europe. I mean, that's one of the pipelines that we at Atlanta United started out to develop. And it's just been proved by George Bello. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the finances.
That's despite your best efforts. I mean, I just want to make sure that I call that out.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
You were one of the people saying that he needed to wait longer before he could play for Atlanta United.
Well, maybe now we would have got more money.
You probably are thinking that he needs to wait even longer still. Some are saying that.
Longer still.
Yeah. No, you're right.
We've got like $1 million of GAM out of this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think at that, like, we can recoup that amount, right? It's like $1.05 million is the most from a deal that you can allocate to the roster, right?
Yeah,
the rest has to go to Big Daddy Garber.
You know what's interesting is they have not yet posted this year's rules technically. So, when you go to the MLS rules and regulations, it's still 2021. So, but yeah, that was the last that was the last amount from last year. So you would think it would be something like that, and. I don't know if it depends on like the upfront cost versus like what they would be able to add. I don't know if that money actually comes into that allocation money comes in once he hits like incentives that pushes the transfer up. But yeah, eventually at least they will receive all of that allocation money. But, you know, Dan, you're right that it kind of proves the pipeline. And it's really interesting that you got to think about, you know, I was talking about like when George Bello, when he signed his deal. I mean, do you remember when they announced it? They had him on the field at halftime of that Houston Dynamo game that I was very drunk at.
Yeah, it was him, Okonkwo, and who's the other guy? There was another guy.
Chris Goslin.
I blacked out by that point.
Chris Goslin. We had Kunga. What was the other guy's name? I can't remember.
I thought it was Kunga.
Carlton,
yeah,
might have been
Carlton too.
We say Goslin,
yeah.
Patrick Okonkwo, Lagos Kunga. I think those are the five: Bello and Carlton. Anyway, you know the academy was still kind of getting its legs underneath it. There was no USL team at the time when he signed. Of course, that came around by the time he had to start playing, but. You know, everything was very new at that point. And we saw, you know, those other four players were kind of out of the system relatively quickly. So I think it just goes to show that, you know, it's a testament to George that he was actually able to kind of make his way through those early times of Atlanta United. And I think that that whole pipeline is now matured to the point where you're going to start seeing the academy and the twos just pump out better and better players. We're already seeing it like with a guy like George Campbell, who's still incredibly young, and you can already see just how talented and dominant he looks at times against MLS attackers. So, you know, I think we're only seeing the beginning of like kind of what the fruits are going to bear from what they've put together here.
Yeah. CM's got a good point. You know, regardless of the dollar amount, it still speaks volumes just to that development throughout the program and the long-term goals that Atlanta United has as an organization, despite just the first team. So I think whatever the price tag is, the fact that we were able to sell him to a top five Euro league is, it speaks volumes. I mean, I think to Matt's point, I think it was probably Alphonso Davies was probably one of the last ones, but yeah, it's been a little while since, at least I can think of, and I don't follow it maybe as much as you guys do. But
Caden Clark, I think, would probably be the most recent before. He's
saying expansion team.
He's asking who we think right. The next next player from an a recent expansion team to go. I don't know anything about Nashville's academy, Charlotte's academy.
No, he said who is the next most. It was very confusing the way it was worded. The next most recent expansion.
Gotcha.
Like in the past, like that has sold them, not so that could
I
sell them.
I think that would be Giovanni Reyna from NYCFC. They also had Joe Scally.
No, what
but
about
the rest is all like
Caden Clark though. Clark is he's playing for Leipzig. He was from
Did he play for?
Red Bulls.
Yes.
Right, and he went straight to Leipzig.
Right, but Red Bulls don't have the Red Bulls have more tenure in the league.
Yeah,
I thought that's what
he was just saying. Who was the last homegrown before George to be sold from any team in MLS to go to a top
and arguably he's probably since Alphonso Davies has been the.
Poster
has made
truck.
The biggest move, right? Like that is the biggest move to go straight from even though he is going from a farm team to he's getting promoted essentially, but still to after Jesse Marsh got canned, probably the second best team in Bundesliga. So
we've seen some of these young MLS players go to some of these, you know, big leagues, but very few are going to be in the situation that Bello is in, where he's going to be going with the expectation that he's going to be a starter, you know,
right.
Or
and
at least
at a prime age to do so as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. So he's
certainly not at the end of his career or even really even at the middle, even some.
Yeah. You know, so we've seen some teams like, you know, buy up some of these young MLS players and, you know, and then just kind of stash them, develop them for a while. And, you know, that's a, you know, legit like way to, you know, get players in on a budget too. But, you know, I think it's going to be exciting to see how Bello fares because we're probably going to get to see it relatively soon here.
Have you guys followed much of Miggy's track record with Newcastle or sort of the general feeling of him?
He got ruined. He got ruined by Steve Bruce. I think I think all the Geordies love him. And they just, for the longest time, I think Steve Bruce, they were yelling at Steve Bruce for not playing him in the correct position.
Yeah. That's been generally what I've seen as well. And so it's just disappointing, you know, talking about players. Granted, he's not a homegrown player or anything like that, but just players that have been that have made that transition out of MLS into European clubs that hasn't maybe performed at their best for whatever reason. And I think that's almost a little bit of a detriment optically to Atlanta United. And I think that that's the other thing that Bello's sale does for the team is it at least instills some renewed faith to players that even though it's not a $18 million transfer deal, it's still a transfer deal to a European club. And it's been a couple of years since the team's had that. So to say that they can do that with some level of consistency is at least good for the optics of young players wanting to get into the academy or to transfer in at a 20 to 22 year old age, knowing that they've got a shot within a year or two to get to that next level, which so many of them want to. So.
One of the big things I think that worries me, you know, my brain tends to go to the negative for this stuff, but is I look at Ricardo Pepi and I look at George Bello and I hope that they're not granted Matthew Hoppe going to Schalke was not like some, it wasn't like newsworthy. Nobody knew who Matthew Hoppe was until he scored a hat trick and however, like 20, whatever it was a short period of time as like an 18, 19 year old. But I worry, I think about Bobby Wood and I think about Matthew Hoppe and I think about those guys playing for bottom feeder clubs in Bundesliga and then both kind of getting, I wouldn't say Matthew Hoppe's still only 19, 20, I think he's 20 years old. I think about those guys' careers getting derailed by going into Bundesliga 2, getting kind of lost in the fray. And you look at, you know, Matthew Hoppe's over in Mallorca now. He's barely playing. He's playing for a relegation side in La Liga, barely playing. Bobby Wood is back He was playing for the Monarchs last year in what is that, USL, or is that, yeah, for Real Salt Lake. I hope that, I don't know, I guess I haven't been following Bundesliga enough, but I look at Arminia Bielefeld, and then Augsburg, and I genuinely fear that those guys are going to get sent down. And I really hope that that's not the case, but like, I don't know. I just wonder what that's going to do for their development versus, I think there's just a fine line, Kevin. Like, you talk about Miggy, like, huge transfer going over to a big club in a big league. I think any club that's in the Premier League is a big club, right? So going over there, not getting the time, especially with like a really hard-headed coach, Steve Bruce, in just, I think his career getting a little derailed there too. I don't know. It's just more of a worry, not a question. Just kind of putting that out there that I worry about.
That's a legit fear. I mean, it's a legit worry, I think.
Well, I mean, Rafa was there when Miggy was sold. That's, Miggy was sold that Rafa Benitez was going to be the manager.
And then he got canned before he ever even played for him, right?
And it's, to be honest, I mean, Atlanta United had a fantastic asset that we sold, and then it was entirely mismanaged by the recipient.
Because there are matches where you watch whenever he first got transferred over, where you're like, shit, maybe he can keep up.
He can do it.
I was like, it's like, because I was a little apprehensive about making a move to a physical league like that, but I think that barrier's been broken down so much over the past like 10 years. It's not the, I think there's a place for like a David Silva type player, Miguel Almiron, like a small, technical player and fast player to get on in there in that league. But it sucks to see that happen. And I really hope that doesn't happen. But that said, so the sell-on clause, I think, is the promising thing here, because you look at reports, like look at Brendan Aaronson's transfer from Philly over to Salzburg. It was $6 million. And granted, I will say out front, I don't think Bello is a Brendan Aaronson talent. I think Brendan Aaronson's one of our best players in the men's national team set up right now. I think he's an incredible talent. As long as Triple G doesn't mismanage him, I think that he's going to be one of our mainstays. And I really hope that for Bello too. He's in maybe a better position because he's playing left back. But I say all that to say that Salzburg is beating Leeds away for a $20 million transfer. Like Leeds were obsessed with bringing Brendan Aaronson in, and they still couldn't get them to agree to a $20 million transfer. So hopefully we reap those benefits when it comes. Cause I mean, left backs are kind of hard to come by, at least skillful. I think he's already there from a defensive standpoint too. And I think that's one of the harder things for those attacking left backs to have in the big league. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I think ultimately it's best for him. I feel like he's going to develop a lot quicker than he would over here.
And that's what was key for Bello. I think Kevin may have mentioned it earlier. You know, it's like, yeah, I think players do kind of, they like going for like a big money deal probably, you know, it's like, it's adds to the cachet of the player and all that. But at the end of the day, like in Bello's case, they were turning down offers that were better. Or at least they did in this last case, you know, cause, they were looking out for his development. So, or he was looking out for his own development. So, I think it will be hopefully a good place landing spot for him, especially obviously if they stay up. If they go down, it will be interesting, but
I think it makes most financial sense anyway, right? Like, it's about trying to see not just the now but the future potential, and so good on Bello and his agent and everybody else involved to recognize, like, I want to go to a club that's not only in one of the top five Euro leagues but is in a position that I can leverage for the next step and develop, because I'm not, you know, he's not 27, he's not 28. He's at an age where he's likely going to get one, if not two more deals in his career. And you want this to be another stepping stone, not just another step. And so it's not about 3 million versus 2 million. It's 2 million knowing that it could be 12 million in another couple of years. And so I think that's a really good thought process to go through, and a critical one that I hope that more younger players have whenever they start looking at things like Atlanta United and MLS for that matter, you know? And I think, again, it goes back to that same mindset kind of on the inverse, where it's like MLS could be that stepping stone with the right club that can generate those kinds of moves and that kind of consistency to take you to the next step 1 to 2 years into playing in the league with the premier club, so to speak, clubs, plural, in MLS, because it's not just one or two. You know, there's a handful of clubs that are doing this consistently, or at least relatively consistently enough that you can get into a league at a lower salary than you would going to Saudi Arabia or something like that, that you're not really going to go anywhere after that, but at least give you the opportunity and the visibility to get to that level eventually. So,
yeah. And hey, I had not heard of Armenia Bielefeld either before this trade, before this transfer. But it will be a big step up for him in terms of the competition that he's going against, which is really what it's about when you're
whatever, man. I got that away days kit.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I gotta look up this team. Oh, there's a Bundesliga. Yeah.
I've played a lot of. I've played a lot of FIFA manager modes in Germany, playing with Stuttgart for obvious reasons. Gartface, Stuttgart. So I have seen them go up and down quite a bit. And I feel like that has been the case, though. I feel like they do go up and down quite a bit. They're one of those teams that I'm like, I think one of the Frankfurt teams. And anyway, yeah, it's
The point is that, like, while he may be playing for a team that a lot of people maybe not have heard of, he's going to be going up against some of the premier talent, you know? And so that's really what's important for Bello at this stage.
Exactly. Yeah.
And even if they do get relegated, if he can prove himself, if he shows his talent,
absolutely,
then the larger teams will just pick him up. I mean, I don't know what the financial drop is between the Bundesligas, but...
I say we're kind of fucked in that situation, though, because they can come in pennies on the dollar to swoop him up or scoop him up if he's in Bundesliga 2.
I wouldn't worry about it so much. I mean, it's whatever. It's a speculative add to a contract. I mean,
I'm already mad about it, Dan.
You should get on Twitter, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
I detoxed from Twitter for so long, and then we got the season back going, and I'm on it. I'm like, I need to stop. I need to get back.
You know, I'm just thinking about this now. Like, with the sell-on fee, like, he's never going to go for, like, Miguel Amaro money somewhere. You know, like, that's just, like, not going to be a thing. If they were relegated, lots of times players and their contracts will have like release clauses. If the team is relegated, then there will be a release clause that is enacted that will allow them to leave, you know. And there sometimes also are like wage decrease, like a 20% wage drop if the team gets relegated, stuff like that. And so I'm just thinking about it from Bielefeld's perspective, and it's like, you know, what if they could put on a pretty low a pretty low figure for that. Like if they get relegated, then you have a $2 million release clause, and that's still like a profit for them. Or maybe it wouldn't be 2 million, but like it might be like 3 million.
Yeah.
Still a decent profit for them and very affordable for some other team. So you never know how things are going to play out in the future. So I wouldn't get too worried about like the situation of a relegation, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Well,
big so Ozzy Alonso is the other sort of signing, I guess. Should we finish closing out the rest
departures?
Of the departures?
Yes,
departures. So in the
Barco, right?
Gotta be Bo, right?
Why don't we hit the low hanging fruit and then we can talk a little bit about Barco?
$33 million for Barco. Can you guys believe it?
He's on loan. He's on loan. He's not sold.
I
did not specify U.S. dollars. The Argentine dollar. Yeah.
That's right. Get your facts straight, Kevin.
Hold on. I got to do this real quick. What's the trade? What is the exchange?
Oh, please tell me you clipped the. I hope you've got a soundbite of Dan going on about $33 million for Barco or bust.
Oh, because it's $7 million, right?
I believe the question you posed me, Kevin, was if you were at the negotiation table, Dan, what would you say? And I said, I would say $30 million or I won't get out of bed. And anything less than $30 million.
You're still in bed, apparently, for a while. Yeah. While Barco.
So when you're at the negotiation table, you'll be like, "Oh, I'll take 10."
That's. I'm sorry, I was way off. It's 736 million Argentine pesos. Record transfer. blows anything I've ever seen out of the water. Okay, it's just they have to bring it in wheelbarrows. I mean, in the worst Photoshop job imaginable, River Plate introduces Ezequiel Barco. I don't know if you guys saw.
Well, they just put it on Pitty's body.
Was that a fake account?
Yeah, who did that? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then when they actually did release it, it was like the exact same image, but it was actually Barco.
Rumor has it he's already won South American Player of the Year just by being on.
Well, apparently he's the one of the top transfers that the Argentine league's really excited about. So
absolutely should be. I mean, he's a great player.
Is
that not a failure to the Argentine league that their biggest transfer is bringing a guy back?
Not if you're going to River. I mean, Gustavo would probably disagree with me, but I think going from Independiente to River is a big step up. And I think, quite frankly, going from Atlanta United to River is a big step up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It seems like a failure in some sense, but I guess he's got 1 year probably left on his deal. Is that part of the reason the transfer fee is the way it is?
Well, we don't know. Apparently he has more than 1 year on his deal. I thought it was interesting. I'll just read this. You know, it came out in the press release from Atlanta United. It said Atlanta United today announced it had loaned midfielder Ezequiel Barco to River Plate. And then it says Atlanta retains Barco's contract rights beyond this season, which is kind of an odd thing that they would insert in there. And there were some rumors that he was actually going to sign like some sort of contract extension with Atlanta United right before the loan, so that Atlanta United still had some leverage in case the loan didn't work out. And I guess they wanted the loan to be for 2 years, you know, with those sell on or with those buy options. So it is an interesting situation, because if he has a contract beyond this year, that would mean the contract that he would have signed originally for would have been for like 6 years. I think I'm
6 years.
My math, right. So, which I don't think is the case. So I think they may have extended him a little bit, and I don't know. We'll see if there's any more reporting that comes out about that. But yeah, it is interesting. Yeah.
So Tim, to your point, River's club squad evaluation is 3 times what Atlanta United's is.
They're like 100 years older than Atlanta United.
Are you back to Argentinian dollars though?
No. Euros.
But they legitimately are the only two like really big profitable clubs, right? Boca Junior and River Plate. Yeah. He's going to play with LGP, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, the few games he'll get to play when LGP is not suspended.
Yeah, just don't put him on the hoverboard. I don't know if you guys ever remember when there was like a video that went around where like Barco had posted it and he was like, he's like, I got a hoverboard, and then like LGP's on it, and then he's like falling back. He's like falling off it backwards. Like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster.
Now we find out all of Barco's knocks that he took in practice were just from that fucking hoverboard. Barco sustains another knock during practice. You just see him zooming on a hoverboard right before.
That's funny.
Oh,
hilarious. That's hilarious.
Carlos Rangel in the trap saying, River got most of their acquisitions this window from MLS, LGP, Pochettino, and Barco. I find that interesting.
I think kind of opportunistic from River because
they don't got money.
The current state of the transfer market is such that, you know, it's just a little like everything's a little kind of like dried up. There isn't the liquidity in the market that's making these transfers really like feasible for a lot of teams. And so with a seized up market like that, I think there is an opportunity for a larger team from South America to actually go back to MLS and kind of bring some of that talent back if they've got the money to be able to do it. Or at least, you know, it gives these clubs like Atlanta United a chance to put this player back in the shop window where they're going to be playing a lot again, like what we talked about, Bello, against, you know, a good level of competition that European teams would trust to potentially give them a move down the line. You know, and I asked Darren Eales about this when he did a call with media a couple weeks ago, and he kind of, you know, he said it's obvious, I think, to everybody that the transfer market's not quite back to where it was. And, you know, he seemed to think that it will get there. He said he thinks we're like a window or two away from it kind of getting back to something of like what it was. And so I think that is kind of the idea behind some of these loans that we're seeing, not just that Atlanta United made with Barco, but there's a lot of teams doing loans. I mean, I'm a Tottenham fan. Every player right now they're signing are like loans with a buy option. I think that part of it is so that, you know, the liquidity can be injected back into the market that makes a lot of these deals more feasible.
It's all balloon payments. And
yeah, it's like we can, I think they got them on a jumbo loan. Is that like they can, I never thought about that either. Like the course correct, I figured the course correction is going to come, but like the whole logic behind the, it's like, we can afford to pay your salary this year. We can't afford to buy you.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense because either that or just structuring it like Barcelona, where you pay like over 10 years or whatever, and it's fine because you take it because you're selling to Barcelona, and you should be so privileged to do that.
And also when you think about all these issues in the transfer market right now, think about the fact that Al Nassr came and bought Pity Martinez for $20 million in the middle of the pandemic when there were no fans going to games, like kind of anywhere.
Dude, there's
like,
no financial fair play in Saudi Arabia, though. It's
deus ex machina situation of like just like
right
a golden gift came showering down to you.
We got a golden shower of money.
Straight. Oh, I thought you were talking about having Pity on the team again. Sorry. Pity Martinez signs for Atlanta United. It was a total golden shower for Atlanta. Well, just like that, Parceros have entered the trap.
Quick, start talking about how Heinemann's going to be our best player this year. I'm just waiting for Ron to actually pop up in the trap. He's just been quiet. He's just been quiet all night. So good, bad, Kevin. How do you feel about Barco? And how much of it, like, does your reaction or your like your feelings about it really depend on what happens with Thiago Almada or Almeida? Is it Almeida or Almada?
I think it's Almada.
Okay,
just a guess, really, but.
I think it's really dependent on what happens this season. I mean, with who else that we have coming in. The sad thing is that we only saw a handful of games with him, Joseph, and Luis on the field at the same time. And so I think that's a little bit of a bummer that we're not going to really see all three of them healthy and in their best run of form this season. However, I think between Moreno and Almada coming in and the returning pieces that you have up front, I think that the team as a whole will certainly be okay. I don't see that they've taken a step back in any substantial way that is irreconcilable. I think I'm more concerned about what we do at left back than I am with a left winger or what we're doing in the midfield right now with Barco not being there, because I think that Bello's shoes are much more integral to a three-back system than what Barco is doing for this team right now with the firepower that they have up front. So,
yeah. I mean, if you look at left back, we have Andrew Gutman.
And from all reports, he seems to be a lock.
He's looked good so far in these friendlies.
All right, guys. Let me ask you a question. Can or Gutman?
Goop Man or Goozan?
Is it Goop Man or Goop Man?
Who's the better Walt?
Is it Goop Man or Goozan?
It is the 9 o'clock hour, and it is this is when we get into the silly times. No, but yeah, I mean, he started a good bit of games last year for Red Bulls, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, he was one of their key players throughout the season, and yeah, I mean, I think
I completely forgot we picked him up, to be completely honest with you.
I think
I think most people did.
I think he's going to be a better left back than George Bello was last season.
Yeah,
I'll throw it out there. He's just like a more seasoned veteran player. Yeah. You know, this is I just think he's going to be really solid, and he's got that kind of. Those aggressive instincts are kind of built into him from playing in Red Bull's system for a year. He seems like really coachable. I mean, Gonzalo Pineda just talked about him in the highest possible terms. So, yeah, I'm really excited about what he'll bring to that position next year.
Yeah,
me too. I kind of have that feeling too, Joe. My knock on Bello was I don't think he just had the consistency in coaching. Because he's such a young kid, and he had a different coach, or more than one coach, every year. So
during his tenure, he went through all four, right? And to be only 20 years old, he's gone through four coaches is kind of incredible with the one team.
I'm more concerned with. I think Goodman's a good. I think he's a lock. My concern is now Barco's gone. If Almeida comes in, where does this leave Marcelino Moreno? Does he just go out on the wing? It seems like I don't feel like he's really found his place within Atlanta United. And I worry that if during the first half of the season, it doesn't stick anymore, then in the summer, he could potentially be a guy on the transfer market.
Yeah. Sorry, I have to address that. I have to clear the air here. I have to clear the air.
What is going on?
I'm feeling good, Dan. Yeah.
This guy.
Thanks, Joe.
This guy behind me.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Pirlo. I just want to clear his name. He is not a humper. He has not had balls since he was like 4 months old.
He gets it honestly.
He goes and he nests in blankets and he just kicks them behind himself until he just drops. Whatever.
No, Dan, I totally agree.
Daddy, about Marcelino Moreno. What's nesting mean?
I mean,
teach me about nesting.
to me, Marcelino Moreno is one of those players who it's like, you know, like the flower petals, like he loves me, he loves me not. It's like, Marcelino is like, is he going to have a 10 out of 10 or is he going to be completely anonymous from this game? It was like one or the other. It was like kind of diametrically the opposite of like Tata Martino said the great thing about Miguel Almiron was that he gives you at least a 7 out of 10 in every single game. And, you know, and that is so useful. So it just made it all the more frustrating to see Marcelino Moreno not be effective in those games when you've seen him, what he's capable of, you know?
Yep.
And to me also on the ball a little bit, like I feel like I am coining the term like sticky. It's like the ball sticks to him a little bit too long. Mm-hmm. He just like doesn't release it or doesn't anticipate the movement of his teammates as well as he could. You know, we saw some of the issues that he had kind of linking up with George Bello on that left side early last season. I think Gabriel Anze was playing him out on the wing and it just was not really working. So, you know, I think he's going to kind of play centrally as that number 10. I would expect Thiago Almada, assuming that move happens, he'll just kind of slot in for Barco. And, you know, it's kind of a like-for-like change. I think that, you know, the biggest benefits from that this team will have in the attack next season is just having a full preseason here under Gonzalo Pineda and just, like, having that continuity with each other. Because it seemed like last year the attack was as potent as, like, any individual player was on that given day. But they were never, like, a more than... You know, the combination of these players.
I don't care, Joe. I want Luis Araujo in my veins. I don't care. Give it to me. If it's just him on a breakaway every single game and that's all we live and die by, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Those thighs pumping, Kevin.
Oh,
he's incredible. Great. He's incredible. I legitimately think he's like, well, I don't know with like some of the players who have come into the league, like Costa with the LA Galaxy. We'll see Douglas Costa. But, you know, I think when he came into the league last year, I think he was like the most talented player in the league, just in terms of his raw skill. Just unbelievable.
So fucking excited to have a full season with him and a relatively, if not completely, healthy Joseph Martinez within reason. Like, he's not going to be 2018 Joseph. I don't think anybody except for Dan is expecting him to be. and Pinedo, at the helm, Pinedo at the helm for an entire season, like off the jump with some marquee signings. Like, I'm really excited to see what happens with that attacking prowess that they have, regardless of, I mean, Marcelino is going to be Marcelino. I agree. Like, you don't really know what you're going to get consistently out of him, but Joseph is going to be out there giving you everything he's got every single game. And Luis did that exact same thing every single game that he was in. And if you've got those two and everyone else rallying around them and Pineda at the helm, who seems to be really getting the team behind him from a leadership role, which we haven't had really consistently since Tata Martino, give or take everything that happened with Gabriel Heinze behind the scenes and players that were on board versus those that weren't. And we're not going to split hairs there, but I think that the prospects for what the team has on the attacking side of the ball is really exciting.
Yeah. And I think something else that fans will like to hear is that, you know, Gonzalo Pineda, I think the one thing that he wants to drill into this team in terms of like how to make them better attacking is just getting more players into the box, which I think, you know, we've all seen that that's been an issue for this team for years, really. I mean, this team has been built up with these playmaker type attacking midfielders who all want the ball at their feet, and they all like come to kind of like check to the ball and like want the ball at their feet so they can do something with it. But when you collect too many of those players in the same side, you get what Frank de Boer lamented oftentimes, which is that you just don't have players making, like, you know, selfless runs. And I'm not saying anybody on the team is like selfish. It's just their natural style to come to the ball and want to be on the ball. You don't have those off ball runners that are creating space and threatening the opposing back line. So I think that that's something that, you know, for example, a player like Tyler Wolfe, I think that that's something that Gonzalo Pineda has really liked in him. And I would love to see if maybe it's some of these younger kids who can be those types of players who can, you know, come into the team. I mean, I don't think that Tyler Wolfe's going to get a ton of starts this year, but if he could come on and be an impact sub because he's like making those movements in the box, I think that that would be something that would be hugely beneficial for this team. And obviously fans would love to see that kind of thing.
That's what I'd hoped is, I imagine like that could be Jackson Conway's role to make those selfless runs. So Joe, I have to ask you, man, Eric Lopez, your boy. When I was listening to you at the start of the season, I was like, I can't wait to see this kid.
This is the first time that the eyebrow dashes have let me down. Like, every other player that has that is amazing.
I felt like Gabriel Heinze confused him so much. Like, I think we were playing into Miami, and he was going down the wing and passed the ball off to Bello, and then just waited at the top of the 18, like stopped his run so much he had to lurch forward and pull himself back. And then there was nobody else in the box, like to your point. He really Manuel Castro'd it, I feel like.
Yeah, there's a line in Caddyshack where the guy is like, you know, Danny, you're not good. And I'm not saying, you know, that might be harsh, but it was just clear that Eric Lopez was just not that caliber of player. And I mean, I think you're right. Like, I think that Gabriel Heinze really kind of messed with people's minds with the way he was training them in the first half of the season, just, you know, with how strict he was about everything tactically and how tactically odd everything was.
I don't know if you've ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns is bought a baseball team and he's getting all like the high priced guys. Daryl Strawberry. And like one of the plays is like, shave those sideburns. And the guy comes in and shaves his sideburns. And Mr. Burns is like, shave those sideburns. I thought I told you to do that. So he just shaves like the whole side of his hair. And Mr. Burns is like, shave your sideburns. And then so he was like, okay. And I kind of feel like that's how Gabriel Heinze coached Atlanta United.
Yeah. You know,
Aqua, man. Dehydration will do that to you.
It just didn't work out for Eric Lopez.
Yeah.
And, well, you know,
I would say it didn't work out here for Eric Lopez. I think I'm interested to see him in Barnfield and see what he does. I mean, that should be a more familiar place to him. He's a young, he's young, he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
So,
and
you also hope that he does good.
Missed the entire 2020 season, like, didn't even play a game in 2020 because of all this COVID stuff. You know, he came to Atlanta United. He was, I think they had the anticipation that he was going to be one of these U22 players, and then that all got bumped back because of COVID, kind of like derailed everything. And so he ended up not really playing. I mean, maybe he played a little bit early in the year before he was with Atlanta, but you know, you just miss so much time. It's really hard to come back from that. I stand by it. Like last preseason, I mean, he was like one of the few people who was, he like scored some goals in preseason and stuff. So, and I think that, you know, just kind of be serious. Like, I just, last year when I was kind of calling for Eric Lopez, I just wanted to see him play. I wanted to see what this guy, what he had, you know? And turns out he didn't really have much. so we got the answer to that.
That was the thing, is like, so many people seemed like to be, I didn't know shit about the kid, and it seemed like everybody's like, we need to get him in. We need to get him in. He's so promising. He's so talented. And then just to have him, I think that's maybe part of like why I felt like he really fell flat for me, is because I had all these people chirping, or hearing all these people chirping about how promising a talent he was. And he looked robot. Like, he looked as stiff as I do. And I'm like, I got bad joints, man. Like, he just didn't look natural playing for us last year. I think his first competitive game for us was the second leg of the Club America. That's right.
Yeah. He was able to play in that one. And yeah, that was actually, and, that was in 2020. Yeah.
It's CCL up in Kennesaw. Yeah.
Yep.
It's the game that we won, right?
Wasn't it? Yeah. Before the pandemic took hold?
I'm talking about after they resumed it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think that was his first competitive match for us. And
yeah,
it just, he didn't seem right. I didn't even realize. Is it a permanent transfer?
It's a loan with a buy option.
Yeah.
It's a for 50%.
Just like everything.
It's million and a half. Heard.
Yeah. It's pretty small buy option.
Yeah.
So, you know, he just didn't really have any kind of trait that really stood out. You know, he wasn't particularly fast. He wasn't particularly, you know, physically, he just didn't have anything about him that made him stand out. Like, even like a guy like Jake Mulroney, it's like, he's not the best player in the world or anything, but at least he is fast, and that can come in handy sometimes. It's very useful off the bench at times. So like, you know, like, even if you're not the greatest player, if you just have like one thing that you excel at, then maybe you can make a difference. Maybe you can make an impact on a team. But it just seemed like Eric Lopez didn't really have any of those kind of things.
Yeah, and we gave up Breck Shea. We let Breck Shea walk, but we kept Eric Lopez. Anyway.
Kept Mikey Ambrose.
Still here.
Yeah, he's still here. I love Mikey Ambrose as a person, but man, when he played last season, he was a traffic cone, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I think
it'll be interesting to see who is kind of like the backup left back. Is it going to be him, or is it going to be Caleb Wiley, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping Caleb Wiley, right? I mean,
yeah,
to kind of prove our model a little further.
I mean, Caleb Wiley is about as young as George Bello was when they signed their respective homegrown deals. But I got to say, just standing in front of Wiley, he's like much more physically developed than George Bello was at the time. So he seems, and you know, Gonzalo Pineda has said that he's been impressed with him. I mean, he's been gone now for about a week or so with international duty. But and I asked Gonzalo about, you know, how he handles these young players and stuff. And he had that great quote. I don't know if you guys saw, but he was like, the ball doesn't know how old you are. You know, you can be as old as Ozzie Alonso or as young as Caleb Wiley, and the ball doesn't know, you know? So I thought that was kind of a nice way to phrase it, and I think it goes to show that if he's good enough, then he'll play.
Yeah.
And he has every incentive to go play a homegrown kid, you know,
he's
on a professional contract right now. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he even harped on that whenever he came in last year, too. He's like, I want to explore the academy. He brought in the young guys and play them. He singled out George Bello as one of those guys, too. And yeah, I'm excited about that. I mean, I feel like I don't know the youth as much as I'm out of touch with the academy and our younger guys. But I'm hopeful and excited to see more of those guys come in and make an impact. Yeah. I'm very excited about another year of George Campbell.
Well, yeah. That was going to be the next thing I was going to get to. I don't think we're going to get to signings tonight. We're already over an hour. But the other release was Anton Walks, and I think that that's going to open the door for George Campbell in a big way on that back line. So what are your thoughts on the Walks release? And then obviously I think we're all unanimously excited about the prospect of George Campbell, but what that means for Anton Walks leaving, who's been, you know, in the first team, on loan, back in the first team, now gone. It's been a little bit of whiplash over the past couple of years with him, but every time he's been here, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's a shame because also he felt like he was like a captain of the team to an extent, you know. Listen, it's like the truth of the matter is that from a talent perspective, he's not as good of a center back as Miles Robinson or Alan Franco. And if the team's going to a back four, it means he probably wasn't going to play as much, not nearly as much as he had in previous years. You know, and so this can sound a little heartless, but it's like, you know, if you think about it as just like from assets, like it's frustrating that he got just snatched away from you when he had so much value on the market that you could have gotten something back for him. Instead, he just kind of goes for free because, you know, you didn't protect him where they did protect a guy like Brad Guzan, who's like, why would you even protect Brad Guzan? Like, nobody's
they're not going to
draft him in the expansion draft, you know?
No.
And if they did draft, you know, if they did draft Brad Guzan, the expanded draft, you could probably get him back for very little. You know, they would only take him specifically because they could just, you know, get back 100K or whatever. So, I mean, that's unfortunate, but I'm with you. Like, George Campbell, I think, is physically way more talented than Anton Walks just in terms of his athletic gifts. And he's so young. I mean, he's younger than Miles Robinson was when Miles Robinson was drafted, and he's already like looking like a similar kind of player now to where they are right now, you know? So, I'm really excited about George Campbell, and I think that I hope that he does get, you know, some playing time. I think that with Miles Robinson, he'll have a busy year again with a lot of, you know, World Cup qualifiers and things. And obviously with the World Cup coming up at the end of the season, maybe George Campbell plays for Miles Robinson quite a bit this year. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about George Campbell.
It's funny you say that because it's funny. Anybody in U.S. men's national team camp that has to watch film for Miles Robinson deciding if he's in the lineup is automatically going to have to watch film for George Campbell too, because they're going to be playing right next to each other. So the prospects are really great. Your optics are right there side by side. So,
yeah. And, you know, Tim, you were mentioning young players that you're not really that familiar with. Just one little tidbit. That people might be aware of, Efren Morales, who's like I don't know if people even remember that he's a homegrown player that Atlanta.
He was. I remember the letdown everybody felt after Darren Eales' cryptic tweet about Efren Morales, but he's like he's like 6 foot four central.
Yeah, he's huge.
Right?
He's like a tree. Yeah. He's pretty. It looks like he's transitioned to a defensive midfield role, which apparently is more natural for him, and I think that that's right because he's pretty slow footed, so you don't really want a player like that as a center back because he just kind of gets beat and topples over, so which he did at times in USL. So
he's like a young Jeff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
well, like he
trained
like
with Manchester Matic. United.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's like almost like a Nemanja Matic like size midfielder, right? Like he's really tall and kind of lanky.
And he's put some weight on. I think he still has more weight he needs to put on. Like when they first signed him, he was like sticks, like just super skinny. So he has some development that he has to go through, but. Just a little note that it looks like he's changed position because he was playing center back.
Okay. For some reason, I thought he was brought in as a number six whenever he signed, but
it is like he was kind of a number six slash center back, and he had played center back with USL, but it looks like they're going to go forward with him as a defensive midfielder, which I think is the right call.
I hope that he can get some coaching from Alonso because that would be, I mean, if he's going to play a center defensive midfield role, Alonso would be a great guy to talk to and to grow up with guys like Sosa and Ibarra as well. Like they're further along in their path, and to have him come up, those would be some great guys to learn from because they're still learning too.
Yeah. So. And that's the great benefit of having a player like Ozzie Alonso is that his knowledge can be shared like throughout like so many different players, you know, like, it's not like it's only like one player that he's able to help. He's, like you said, there's Ibarra, Sosa, you know, anyone who can pick up something off a player who has that much experience. It's great for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's definitely going to be like a revolving door, I feel like, at center back. I mean, I think that Alan Franco is probably not with us for the long term. We already had Palmeiras sniffing around trying to pick him up, take him to Brazil, right? Is that, is that one of the rumors, like probably about a month ago? Was it him that Palmeiras was trying to swoop in and take, well, like, take one of our players on loan?
I think Palmeiras was in for Barco, I thought. Okay. I thought they were in for Barco, but they were in for Franco when Atlanta was trying to sign him.
Oh, or at least there were reports
that, that they were.
Were they, Joe? Were they really?
But well, you never know. Brazilian clubs is, you never know.
But I don't think Alan Franco's here for the long term. I think Miles Robinson is close to a transfer, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if this time next year George Campbell is gone.
I think it was Sao Paulo who were trying to get.
Oh, maybe it was Sao Paulo.
I just I rate the guy probably the highest in terms of potential on our back line.
But how much time do you have in his contract?
I don't know that it matters, to be honest. I think that, like Joe said, I didn't even think about how much time he's going to see due to U.S. men's national team duty from Miles Robinson. And most likely that, you know, between suspensions or rotation with midweek games and that sort of thing, you're going to see him a lot. And I was very impressed when I saw him last year. And if you could see him for like an extended period this year, his age, his physicality, he's just so imposing when you watch him. That corner that he scored, or no, it was a free kick that he scored off of, right?
No, it was a corner. I think it was a corner.
He was towering over.
Was such a powerful.
It's like, who is this kid? Like, he's fucking enormous. He's athletic. Yeah. He's got pretty damn good positional awareness outside of, I think.
Came up as a midfielder.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense. I was going to say 2 years ago, I think he got brought in and gave up a lead as like a fourth or third center back. But other than that, I mean, that's a rite of passage that happened to Miles in Houston or Dallas or one of the two whenever Tata was here. But yeah, we have other cover too, right? I mean, there's a reason we signed Bryce Washington last year, right? He's supposed to be like kind of emergency cover back there, even though we released. I don't know. I'm happy for Anton Walks because I don't know that I think he was fourth in the pecking order. Coming into the season, I think he's probably behind George Campbell, mostly due to that athleticism difference.
Yeah, there's some interesting players there. Bryce Washington, he's been playing some right back. He's played like, you know, when the twos were in a back three, he would play like the right sided center back. But he can kind of play that center back, right back. He played center back mainly in college, but he played right back in the friendly that they played, the first friendly against the Storm. Was it? But also Aiden McFadden has also been playing at right wing back for Atlanta United in these friendlies, and he's looked good as well. So the twos has really, I think, been a really great chance for these guys to develop and mature their game so that they're actually pushing some of these players in the first team.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. It's you know, you compare like a team like Orlando, who has a pretty strong starting 11, but then it drops off pretty quick after that. I mean, just looking at our roster, I feel like I'm getting really excited about this roster. I feel like we've got a lot of depth here at all the positions apart from left wing, and I would say striker too. But there's a lot there. There's a lot coming through the pipeline. There's a lot to be hopeful for, and I agree. I think the twos have been absolutely fantastic for us.
Yeah. All right. I don't know about you guys, but 5 o'clock comes early. I gotta cut and run.
You're gonna end up. Are you gonna start doing the Jocko thing? Or are you gonna start posting your Apple Watch every morning at?
No, because I know Dan sees it, and that's all that matters. Is he sees it, and that's all that I care about.
Yeah, we're up early for different reasons, but it's
man.
It's been a pleasure, Joe. I don't think this can be the last time. In good conscience, this can't be the last time you're on this season. So
definitely not. Definitely not.
Can I have 5 more minutes of Joe's time? I want to ask him about 2 players.
I can stay on. I got nothing going on. So
exactly, Kevin can leave.
No, Kevin. Right. What?
two guys that have come up recently, and that apparently Darren and Boca have gone to Argentina looking at. One is Luca Martinez de Puy. He is a center forward. He's 20. But the guy who just came across the Twitter radar, and it's not confirmed that Atlanta United really have any interest in him, is Julio Enciso. plays for Asunción in Paraguay. Checked out some of his highlights. He kind of feels like, well, initially he had a move set up to Brighton, apparently,
right,
for 10
right.
million, and it fell apart because of personal reasons. And apparently there's an unnamed MLS club that is interested. I don't know if we'd be able to fit him into a U22 spot if the asking price is 10 million, but he seems like a guy that Eric Lopez could be. Or the guy we wanted Eric Lopez to be, kind of similar to like a Santiago Rodriguez, but maybe not as, I don't think as aggressive as and fast as he was, but he seems like a legit guy in terms of the tackling he can do. I mean, I know they're highlights, but it's what I got. So
yeah.
He seems like a decent tackler. He seems relatively fast, not Tito fast, but pretty fast. And has an eye for goal, and he plays that sort of second striker role that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. So whether he plays alongside Joseph or even as, you know, a replacement for him, he's still young. He's 18, but he could be a guy that we could be looking to bring in. Have you heard anything about this guy?
I haven't heard anything about him specifically to Atlanta United. I would say, and I don't know a ton about either of these two players, but they do kind of play, I think, the position that would be what Atlanta United is looking for out of this U22 signing, which is to be a player that can play on the wing, can play as a backup striker to Joseph if need be, and also kind of be like a different kind of backup striker that Jackson Conway would be. It's almost like you don't need a solidified number two. If you have Jackson Conway as one option to be the backup, and then another kind of quicker, speedier Tito Villalba type player to be a player that who could play as a backup, that gives you different options as the manager as to like who you would want to put in different situations. Maybe if you're holding onto a lead, you wouldn't want to put a guy like Jackson Conway in who could hold the ball up, you know, play a little stronger, do that kind of thing. So I definitely think that that is the kind of position they will look for this U22 slot. It seems to me like it's going to be that Martinez Dupuy guy. It just seems like that based on the reporting. I would say, though, that a $10 million signing could be a U22 slot player. Their salary would just have to be below the
612 or something like that.
They wouldn't be able to use any TAM on their salary, which is that's the limiting factor with these guys.
Yeah, I think Jackson could do with some competition, to be honest with you, because I don't think Eric Lopez Kubo was really any competition because he was a completely different thing that we were using him for. And Conway was just like, well, I'm kind of the young kid, so I'm here.
To be honest, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, we're using him for time wasting. That's all we used him for.
Salary wasting? Yeah. Yeah, cap wasting, I think, is what the term you're looking for. Yeah. Yeah.
Salary wasting is on.
Chronic salary wasting disease is what he had. It's it's running rampant. No. We have to. There's so much more to talk about before the season.
Well, great.
We can talk soon. I mean,
it's a good thing we got a whole month
time before baseball gets going. So,
yeah.
Oh God, you just angered the entirety of Atlanta United.
Stick to soccer. Stick to soccer.
Yeah, we're so insecure.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
All right, Joe. Thank you so much for coming on, man. And then until we have you back, where can everyone find you and all the work that you're doing?
Yeah, at JAPatrick200 on Twitter, at Dirty South Soccer, and also Five Strike Final. Have a Patreon podcast I do with Sam Jones where we do like a weekly show and a lot of stuff on the training ground and stuff like that. So all good stuff.
That's great. Tim, Dan, where are you guys at these days?
You can find me changing diapers, or you can find me on Instagram over at Tim Herb. That's it though.
Hey, you can find me at DNJMS or on the Peloton to the power of Dan.
To the power of Dan.
To the power of Dan.
There I've it seen is. It. It's hard to find, but you can find it. You gotta squint a little bit, but he's there.
Oh, I'm there.
I actually signed up for Dan's Peloton Patreon. That's why you're not getting. He keeps his
the Pella Patreon.
Pella Patreon. Yeah. He puts Pella the real Patreon stuff behind a behind the paywall, yeah. But it's still the same thing. You just watch him put it in like 15 minutes on the bike.
His Patreon's on all, or his Peloton's on OnlyFans.
Yeah, sometimes the shorts get a little short.
There was like a 2-week period where they banned porn, and Dan was like, "I'm getting in there. There's a vacuum to fill."
This is my entry point.
It is. It is Peloton content.
This is a power vacuum if I've ever seen one.
It's like when we killed Saddam Hussein, but you just put a middle-aged man on
what
a bike.
The Book of Boba Fett's all about.
You call me middle-aged, Tim.
You're not middle-aged. We're all middle-aged, right?
Are we? Yeah.
If anybody is, it's Dan.
For me, probably. I'm probably middle-aged.
My wife took some pictures of me, and I looked at them, and I was like, oh, my God, I am old and tired.
I'm about to start plucking gray hairs.
Yeah, I look like Johnny Lawrence out of Cobra Kai. Except without the good body.
Yeah. Well, and instead you're a handyman hanging TVs right now? Is that?
I mean, less handyman, more
Randy man. There it is. Yeah. That's how you end up with 12
laundry
kids.
Folder. It's kind of mine.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin, where can they find you? Do you still have the socials?
I'm on Instagram. My Twitter is still out there, but at the architect, that's at the underscore ARC.
He's got some pretty good boards on Pinterest if you guys are interested.
It's all weddings and workout plans and D&D characters that I'll never play.
A lot of Kanye West's workout plan, which is a little troubling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We are back. We're back. We'll be back next week with a face that's been absent from the community for far too long and has a voice that needs to be shared, we'll say. Leave you guessing on who that may be. But
I'll give you a hint. They're turning the frogs. They're turning the frogs gay. That's my hint.
That's a very good riddle there, Tim. We'll see you guys next week. As always, be home before dark.